Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name is Rob Bagby. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft Corporation, and this is the third in a multi-part series where I'm building out a Silverlight application. It's a sample application, but we're building it out using design patterns. Design patterns solve common everyday problems in a known way. In part two, I illustrated the use of the repository. We built out a repository. We also built out a relatively simple validation layer. In this part three, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be laying out our pipeline pattern, and we're going to be following very closely to the implementation that Rob Connery put out in his MVC storefront series. If you haven't seen that series, go out to my blog. You'll find part three, and you'll see the MVC storefront series link out here. Go take a look at that series. There's a ton of great information there. So with that said, you can go out to robbagby.com. You can find the blog post that's associated with this screencast and get maybe a little bit more detailed information. For instance, we'll outline what the pipeline pattern is, iQueryable T, as well as extension methods. So what is the pipeline pattern? Well, if you look at Wikipedia, which is, as I put it, the purveyor of all knowledge, it's just a chain of processing elements, and they're arranged so that the output of each element is the input of the next. So, for instance, I've got the start of this pipeline. I put an element in there that takes in type A. It does some work on that type and then outputs type A. And so the next element, if plugged in, would take in type A, really take in the output of the previous element and output type A. And that makes it so you can continually plug in whatever elements that you build or that you need. We're going to do just that. We're going to implement this pattern to a T, taking advantage of a couple of technologies in .NET. One of them is iQueryable of T. The other is extension methods. So let's do a brief overview on iQueryable of T. If you'll see down here, I just took a snapshot of the online documentation for iQueryable of T, and you'll see here an interesting property is the expression property. Essentially, when you have an instance of iQueryable of T or of iQueryable, there's an expression tree associated with that. And so what happens is when you add in clauses, you add in a where clause or an order by or a select or a group by or whatever, those are actually being stored as expressions in an expression tree. And at the time where you try and enumerate over the result set, that's when that expression tree gets turned into the domain-specific query by whatever framework you're using. So in our case, we're using Link to SQL. So at the time I try and iterate over the results, I will get the Link to SQL framework will essentially take that expression tree and convert it into a SQL statement, T-SQL statement. Now, what's interesting about that, or how does that help us within our pipeline implementation, is that you can continually add expressions into this tree prior to the point where you actually try and iterate over the data. So you can pass these iQueryables around and have differing elements in your pipeline essentially add to the query, which is exactly what we're going to do. The second piece that's interesting to us, or the second technology, is extension methods. And extension methods just essentially allow you to extend a type without really deriving from that type. And so this might sound a little scary to you. You might think, wow, a big security leak. Really, it's some people call it syntactic sugar. You're building out a static method. And that static method can only access the public members of whatever type you're operating against. You get some really nice love out of it, though. What you get is a really high degree of readability as well as maintainability of your code. You also get some IntelliSense help for you. So, for instance, for obvious reasons, you can't extend or derive from the string class. However, you can extend string using extension methods. So in my case, in this example here, you'll see I created a toJive extension method. And so the way an extension methods work, you decorate or you prepend the first parameter to your public static method with this, and this is the type that you're going to be extending. And so you can see that I've created this extension method toJive that extends the string class. So now I can call whatever my string is dot to Jive. This is going to make it really easy for us to build our pipeline or to implement our pipeline pattern. So with that, let's just get to it. Let me get down to close out this and let's get to writing some code. So here we are. I'm inside of my project and I'm going to go into my data class, helpdesk.data. And I'm just going to go ahead and add a class. And I'm just going to add something called ticket filters. And this is where we're just going to add in all the filters for our ticket and that portion of our pipeline. So let's just go ahead and add a class. And we'll call it ticket filters. There we go. And let's just write in our, let's just build out our first, filter. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. Let's do public static and iQueryable of ticket. And let's just call this by page. And this will allow us to essentially page fetch a page of tickets. So you can get, you know, page 1 through 5 or out of 20 or 6 through 10 out of 20, etc. So we're going to want to be able to pass in our query. This is what we're going to be extending. So I'm going to put a this, prepend a this to it, and we'll do iQueryable of type ticket. And let's just call this query. And then let's we'll pass in the page number and size, page size. Good. Now all we need to do is write the code to do that. So I'm just going to just calculate what my skip is. So that's going to be page number times page size. And now just go return query dot skip. And we're going to skip what we just calculated. And then we're going to call take. And we're just calling these extension methods. And we're just going to take the page size. And we're done. We're good to go. I'm going to Control Shift B and compile this. Public class, public static class ticket filters. That is a constraint for building out extension methods. They have to be in a public static class as well. So we've got our by page extension method. Let's go ahead into our test class. Let's go down to our test project. I'm going to ticket test. And I'm going to go ahead and add in a test to test this by page. So I'm going to pause the video while I type this test out so you don't have to watch me do that. So I've completed the test. I'm going to give myself a little more room here so you can see the entire name. Again, you'll see we've got a very long and descriptive test name, passing by page filter, page 1. Page size 3 should return tickets with IDs of 3, 4, and 5. So this is a zero-based index. So if I get the second page, I should get IDs back of 3, 4, and 5 because the first page would have IDs of 0, 1, and 2 if you'll if we're working on a group from 0 through 9. Now this brings about an interesting... let's take a look at what we've got here. You see I'm creating my ticket repository. I'm calling get tickets by page. 1, 3, and then I'm bringing them out to a list. And so you can see this is probably a little bit cleaner than skip and take, etc. You know that we're getting a page, and then we're just asserting that the ticket, my first ticket, has a ticket ID of 3, 4, and then 5. This brings about a pretty big issue, though. The way that we've got it written, I would have to make sure that inside of the database I have 6 tickets at least. With 0, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5 as the IDs for all of them. This is an issue. I don't want to be testing my database. So for this reason, what I want to do is I want to bring in a test repository. And so that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to add in a test repository that I've already created. So I'm going to go into my test. I'm going to go ahead and just create a folder. We'll just call this fakes. And I'm just going to go ahead and add an existing item. And let's go ahead and take a look. Let's go grab this thing. I've put it in Silverlight, Blog Series, Screencast, and then Helpers. And there's my fake ticket repository. Let's take a look at this. Repository. So what we can see here is I've got two variables, a list of tickets, and a list of severity levels called ticket list and severity level list. And then I've I've got one constructor, and in that constructor, you have to pass in that list of tickets and the list of severity levels that you want to work with, and all we do is set those two variables. Then all of the methods that I've got, get tickets, all I do is return the ticket list and then call the extension method as queryable. Same thing for severity levels. And you can see when I do an add and a delete, all I'm doing is operating on that local collection. And then when we call save, I just make sure that each of the tickets is valid. Otherwise, I throw a validation exception. Now, I wanted to make this thing a little bit easier to work with because in this case, anytime you wanted to work with it, you'd have to cruft up your list of tickets and security levels. So I created a couple little helper methods. And so we've got a create test severity levels that just creates a collection of severity levels and adds three severity levels in low, medium, and high. Same thing for create test tickets. We just iterate 0 to 9 and create 10 fake tickets, short description 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. And then the ID, the ticket ID is 0 through whatever N or I in this case. Then I've got a create fake ticket repository that just calls those two methods, and so we pass in the two collections. So if you want to get this fake ticket repository, we can just call create fake ticket repository. So let's just do that. So I'm going to go ahead in my ticket test, I'm going to replace this bit of line here where I'm just going to say equals fakes dot fake ticket repository dot create fake ticket repository. And we're good to go. Let me just move this to the next line. And we can actually run our test and make sure that it works. And I know that my test data will support this, so I'm truly testing this logic. So let's go into our test view, and we'll just run a test on this little guy. So let's run him. And it's in progress, and it passed. So we're good to go. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add in another couple filters, and to keep this thing moving along, I'm just going to pause the video while I add these next two filters in. Okay, so I've added in two more filters. I've got a by severity level ID that again is extending iQueryable of ticket, and you pass it in a severity level ID. And so all we're doing is calling aware, adding aware where the severity level ID equals ID. And then I've got a by ticket ID. And this is the only one that doesn't return an iQueryable of ticket. So this will effectively end the pipeline. You won't be able to compose or add any more pieces to the end of this. And this is by ticket ID, again, extending iQueryable of ticket. And then you pass it a ticket ID in this case. And here we return single or default where the ticket ID equals ID. And if we go back into our tests, we can go down and we can see I've added one more test in here, just testing that the ticket ID where if you call by ticket ID with one, it returns the appropriate ticket. In this case, I just make sure that the ticket that gets returned does have an appropriate ID of one. And you know, there may be some other tests in there that just make sure that it returns a ticket, a type of ticket all up. And here I'm just making maybe one that's a little further downstream. So let's go ahead and compile this, Control Shift B. We can run this last set of tests, or we can actually run all the tests, make sure everything's working, everything's passed, we're in pretty good shape. Now, one of the points I'd made earlier about the pipeline is it just adds to the readability of a query. And so let me just kind of illustrate that. If we take a look at, if I wanted to get maybe the tickets with a severity level of one, using the extension methods that I've got, I could just do something like by severity level of ID of one, and then I could say by page, and we can continue to compose this, and I want the first page of five. That's probably a lot cleaner than doing something like rep.getTickets, and we would do dot where, and then we would have to say t such that t dot severity level ID equals one dot skip skip zero dot take five. Probably a little bit cleaner to read the second one than the first one, and so that's what I mean by legibility, maintainability, and kind of the key here is also that we get this nice IntelliSense support. So we know that there's a by page, a by severity level, a by ticket ID, and all of that logic is kind of implemented for us. So that's our pipeline layer. This is what's going to help enable us to author as well as consume all of those kind of additional ways that we want to slice and dice our tickets. In the case of our very simple implementation, I've just got one where I can return all of them. Then I've got a filter that allows me to get them by severity level ID, another one that allows me to get to them by page, and another one that allows me to just return a single ticket. So that's the end of this, the end of this screencast. In the next screencast, we're going to implement our WCF services layer, taking advantage of a new custom binding available to us in Silverlight 3. Again, if you want to get to the code for any of these, you can go out to my blog at www.robbagby.com. Thanks a lot, and I hope you catch the next one.